Micah, if you could do something funny. And then I feel like we're to be like, action.
I can talk about how all my plants are dying because I'm failing at life.
Micah, hi, how are you today?
Hi, Heather.
So I wanted to know more about your plants. How are your plants today?
My plants are dying. I have to tell you something.
Okay.
I love my plants. I feel like I'm a plant person. Mm-hmm. But then we got the floors redone in the downstairs. So I moved my plants to these random places. Okay. And I forget about them. I just forget. There's one in Chris's office and I don't want to go in his office, and it's freaking cold in his office. And that plant has just slowly died. And now I'm looking at a couple of plants here.
And like right where you're sitting, like, you can like see them. Oh man. Okay.
I feel like there's a part of me that I left behind in San Francisco that was like kind to green things. And I don't know what happened. I think it froze.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I think that maybe they're just all mad. Maybe they're not quite dead. You know how plants get mad.
Yeah.
So maybe you just need to put them back in their home. Sing them a little tune. You're good at singing.
I can sing to them.
Yeah.
I'm going to move them down to a warmer, happier place.
Yeah. They probably are pissed about the cold too.
Yeah.
Angry.
Yeah.
Well, I forget that children listen, and the saying PISSED is not a bad word, but I don't want my kids saying that anyway. Okay. Yeah.
We're sorry, parents.
Sorry. Not quite an explicit, but too late. You already heard it. Okay, Micah, I'm sorry about your plants, and I want you to keep us posted on that. I love my plants, and if they started to die around me, I would feel very conflicted. So solidarity with you,
okay,
mama.
Thanks.
Plant mama. But I think it's time to go ahead and do the thing that we do here, which is shout some worth and shift some narratives for people with Down syndrome. So friends, this is not the plant podcast. This is the Lucky Few podcast. Welcome to the Lucky Few podcast. Today, we are going to be interviewing our friend, Joe Lopez. We're going to be talking about things like getting plugged into your community and finding your people within this Down syndrome space. She's pretty good at that. She's a mom to a 5-year-old with Down syndrome. She's also a dear friend. She also works for the Lucky Few. We're just connected.
It's all just a big bundle of goodness.
Yes. I like that better.
Okay.
And as you can tell, Mercedes is not here. She's not just like sitting quietly on the side. We don't have Mercedes today, so we miss her very much. We're happy to be with you. Let's get to it. Welcome to the Lucky Few podcast. Okay, so it is March, and that means I feel like our community is like, here's my comparison, okay?
Okay.
And so March 21st is World Down Syndrome Day, but come March 1st, we're like, bring it on, right? Like things are already happening, almost like how Christmas starts in October.
Absolutely.
Our community has just jumped on that idea, and we are like, yes, it is just going to be on the 21st, and maybe 10 years ago when we were celebrating this, maybe on the 20th, we started talking about it. And now it's like March 1st. I feel like someone even recently asked me to do something on February 21st, because we're a month out.
it's like pull out your Down syndrome tree and put the lights out.
That's right. I love it. All the yellow and blue.
Just pull it out.
Pull it out. We got ribbons everywhere, but I love it. I sound like maybe I'm mad about it. Let me clarify. We are in it, and it is fun, and that we do it here on the podcast. We are intentional this month to be talking about always about Down syndrome, but more with our community, having people with Down syndrome on. We had Cole Sybus on,
yes,
a man with Down syndrome. Make sure you hit up that episode. So I'm excited to have Joe on here. Are you doing anything this month, Micah, that you're prepping for?
I don't have anything in the books yet.
Okay.
I feel like I got to get my head around it. I haven't gotten my Down syndrome, World Down Syndrome Day tree out. I haven't glittered the house yet. I've got some work to do.
You got some work to do.
What about you?
Yes. So we have been planning on the Lucky Few side, tons of things. And one of those things is we are now a foundation, the Lucky Few Foundation, which we're really excited about. It's just a great opportunity to invite everybody into what it is that we're doing, which is what we do here, shout the worth of people with Down syndrome, shift the Down syndrome narrative through storytelling. So we say it's one thing to know Down syndrome. It's another thing to know a person with Down syndrome. Mm. And everybody here can agree, you know, a person with Down syndrome, it changes it. The narrative starts to shift, but not everyone has that access. So here at the Lucky Few Foundation, we want to offer that access to everybody, that everybody with the click of a button or scroll of their phone can get to know a person with Down syndrome, and not just the same person, but all of the different kinds of people with Down syndrome and those who love them. So we're all about storytelling, and we have started for March. If you're following along with This Is Down Syndrome, which you can find at the Lucky Few Foundation, the This Is Down Syndrome Project, we are telling 21 stories leading up to March 21st. And on March 21st, we're going to be doing putting into the world our very first video. So far, it's been a photography series, but we've got a really rad video coming out. So cool. We have been like these kinds of production things, you know, we're talking about it in like January and then really planning through February. And then here we are. So it's fun to see it in the world. And we can, with Jo and her family, they are one of the families that is going to be featured for our stories for this month. And you get to see their beautiful, like you guys, you can't see Jo right now and you don't see her kids, but it's like obnoxious how pretty their family is. Her kids are like, are you kidding? These are what your kids look like. I mean, they're so cute. Anyway, and they're like the best people. So that's exciting for us. The This Is Down Syndrome series, which is happening through the Lucky Few Foundation, can be found at theluckyfew.com. All of the stories, all of the links, all the ways you can get involved. So make sure you check that out. Whew, all right. Ooh. Before we bring Jo on, gosh, this has been a long intro. Micah, would you read a review?
You know, I love to read reviews.
I know.
I really do. This is, that's a KW, not a Q pod fan. It says, I started a podcast during the pandemic and it is hard work. I appreciate what the Lucky Few team is doing even more now. Great content, great guests, great mama's advocates. Oh, that's a really amazing. It is really hard work to do a podcast. I know that if we didn't have Val, our producer, who just like drags us along, we'd be disasters.
We'd be like you, the plants.
We'd just talk about our plants. I know. Or yeah, the plants in my house would be a metaphor. So
for the podcast.
Yes. We're grateful for Val. And thanks so much for just leaving that review. Qua pod fan. I feel like reading KW. These every time. I'm like, KW, we're grateful for you. And we hope that all you listeners out there will leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts so we can read it aloud next week. We really love getting these and we're so grateful for your support.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Okay, friends, we're going to get right to it now. I am here to introduce you to Jo Lopez. So not only does Jo have a sweet 5-year-old son with Down syndrome, Milo is his name. She's also a integral part of the Lucky Few team here. She happens to be my assistant. And just like the podcast would wither away like the plant in Micah's office without Val, Heather Avis would wither away like the plant in Micah's office without Jo. I'm so thankful for her in our lives. She is also extremely active in her community, and we live in a neighboring community, and she has a unique perspective on getting plugged in, finding your people. She's got a lot to offer there. So welcome, Jo.
Thank you all for having me. My gosh, I'm so, so excited to be here.
Yes. I'm so excited you're here. Jo, did you listen to the podcast before today? This is your first time. It's okay. Yes. You've never listened.
No, I definitely had. And I'm terrible. I don't quite understand podcasts. Like I love them, but I never have a time where I'm like, how can I just listen to something? And now I don't drive since the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. I'm never in my car. But yes, I did. I used to listen to it. I loved it. It was probably the only podcast that I listened to, quite honestly.
How did you find it? How'd you find the podcast?
Oh my gosh. Because once you, I feel like once you enter the sphere of Down syndrome, like one of the first connections is, do you know the Lucky Few? Have you read the Lucky Few?
It's so true.
Like you need to do this. This is like our Bible. Like we need. Oh my gosh. It's very important.
I think that's debatable, like, oh, but that's very sweet.
That happened to me, Joe. Yeah, as soon as Ace was born, somebody said to me, "Do you follow the Lucky Few on Instagram?" Mm. And so Heather was my rabbit hole, like all the way down into
co-hosting a podcast.
And suddenly I was co-hosting her podcast.
I know, right?
Yeah. You never know where it will take you.
It's dangerous.
Oh my gosh. That is very sweet. Yeah, that's very sweet. This is like a side note to just, I don't know why, and maybe Josh edits this out, but I feel I'll hear stories like this, right? And you guys are like my in real life friends, and I love you dearly. And to have somebody know me that from that perspective, like, do you know the Lucky Few? Have you seen them? Have you read?
There's like a hidden Heather Avis shrine in my house.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. But it is forever the weirdest thing. Like I recently had a guest on in February, Ashley, and Ashley, mm-hmm. we hang out and I'm like, Ashley has no idea who I am. And then later find out that she had this moment where she met me and it's like stardom. And just so everyone knows, it is the weirdest thing forever and always. And if it's ever not, everybody call me out. Like, I never want to get like, it's not what this is about, right? Like the things that we're doing here and the goals that we all have set, the goal is not some kind of fame and accolade and stardom. Like we're trying to freaking change the world for our kids, you know? Anyway, it is just the weirdest thing hearing it from people I know and love. Like Heather Avis, I'm like, you guys, can we please not? Anyway.
That's what it was. that's just how it is.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you found the podcast and I'm glad that you found it helpful. We've had side conversations. Joe said to us in a meeting with our team, like, how in the world is the podcast though not the most successful thing ever? Like that she has found so much goodness from this space. And like, why is every organization linked to Down syndrome not like pushing it into the world? So that I'm glad that you found it and feel that way because we love it to do it. We feel honored and thrilled to get to be a part of it for sure.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's amazing content. You guys make amazing content. I'm not quite sure why I'm here today, but usually
let's find out. It's
incredible. Yeah. And it's been incredibly helpful. And the people that you have on, again, present company excluded, is like, this is the way that we as moms and as parents get to find these connections to these experts that otherwise, you know, now we don't have to do that work to say, well, gosh, who can I ask? Who knows? Because then we go and we look for, you know, all of the specialists, but then we have to say, but also, do you have experience with people with Down syndrome? Mm-hmm. And that's where things kind of get dicey, right? But it's like, oh, look, we've got a whole list of people and we're interviewing them and they're talking specifically about their patients with Down syndrome. This is for you. Mm-hmm. So that's incredible. It's very helpful for us. So thank you.
I think include yourself in that because part of why we want to have this conversation on the podcast is the truth is at a certain point, the mom across the street is one of your best resources. And like the idea of taking ownership in that as that person and knowing like, I need to find that person. How do I find them? And that was what I felt impressed by with you because we're in the same community and I've been in the community longer and you like it proximity wise. Right. And you know all the things. And I'm like, I've never even heard of that. And you just you're good at that. But real, before we get there, cause that's like kind of the foundation of our conversation. Tell us more about your family. So where you're at, who your kids are, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Relevant background.
So I hope I don't mess this up. I have 4 kids. How old are they? 10, 7, Milo is 5, and Lenny is 2. And so Milo just started school. So now we're in that whole new journey there. But yeah, when we, this starts quite a while ago, we found out that Milo most likely had Down syndrome very early in our pregnancy. We hadn't even told anybody that I was pregnant. And we found out that he probably had Down syndrome. And we were actually you know, we were a little shaken, but it wasn't sort of, it's something that we had kind of talked about before. What would we do? What's our decision? We were fine. Everything is fine. Then we went to do another test to confirm it. And they told us, don't even bother. He has something like that, something that's called high drops, and it's just not going to work. He's not going to make it. And so we were like, what do we do now? What are we supposed to do? And I Googled it, and high drops is a terrible thing to Google. I mean, most things I think are, but when you Google that, it's like an 80% mortality rate. It's like terrible news everywhere. And so I think at some point it occurred to me to go on Facebook and see, because I knew like there are all these groups and things. So I thought,
sure,
maybe there's a group. Maybe I can find some people who have experienced this, because when I Google this, all of it looks really, really horrible. And so I found this group. And so people just kind of post their stories and ask, you know, for any feedback. And so I kind of posted mine, kind of gave all the stats that I knew of. And I said, is there any hope? I have, you know, he has Down syndrome. Now he has high drops. They're saying there's nothing, you know, there's nothing else we can do. And this woman reached out to me, and she sent me a private message, and she said, my daughter had the same diagnosis. And she sent me a picture, and she said, here she is. She's beautiful. The doctor said the same thing. And she said, I can't promise you anything, but I am here for you. And she gave me her number. And she's, you know, like states away. And we just kind of corresponded back and forth. And so I continued, because, you know, there was still a heartbeat. As far as we knew, he was still okay. And then after like a couple months, everything was fine. Wow. It resolved.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it was crazy. And then it came back again. It came back again, but we were like 37 weeks. Mm. And so they induced him. And so, you know, there were a bunch of other things, obviously, that kind of come with having a child with Down syndrome, and he was in the NICU and all of that, but he's fine. The high drops resolved itself when he was born, and everything was fine. But I had continued through my pregnancy to stay in touch with this woman. And I told her he was born, and she was so excited, and she was celebrating with me. And she said, now join this group. And I'm a part of this group. And it was DSDN.
Wow.
And so I had no idea, because I know I had looked at Down syndrome groups, and it's kind of overwhelming, especially if you look it up on Facebook. Oh my gosh, like everybody and their friend has a Down syndrome group, and it's, you don't know which ones are like legit and which one is like one weird person who doesn't even know anyone with Down syndrome. And so she was like, join this group. And so I did, and it was amazing. And I had, you know, they had the birth group. And so now I was with this group of people who were like right on the same page as me. And then a few years later, because it took me a while to kind of get my bearings, so Milo was probably two, I went to the retreat. And she said, I'm going too.
Oh,
wow.
And so we met, and I kid you not, as soon as she went, she found me in like one of the ballroom, like, you know, meeting areas. And as soon as I saw her, I started crying. Mm-hmm. And like, we just hugged, you know, because here's this person that at this point I had now known for a couple of years, who had been this incredible support during like one of the hardest times of my life. And I didn't know that we would ever meet in person. Yeah. I mean, she lives like, you know, hundreds of miles away. And there she was, and there we were together, and we took a picture, and we hung out, and her name's Amy Jansen. She's amazing. She's like my angel. You know, like this person that just connected me. And then she connected me to this whole community. And I think that's what's really incredible. I think that a lot of us also have gone, like when I meet people and I'm like, are you part of this group? Are you part of these other groups, right? That we want to kind of engulf each other in this world, that we can all kind of use as support. I just love it so much. I'm so grateful for it.
Isn't it amazing how we can be like miracles in another person's life? Like, you were in this dark cave and this stranger shows up with a torch and leads you out. And she just, and all she was willing, like she was willing to see your pain. She was willing to reach out. And you know, that's really all that community is, right? Mm-hmm. It's like just seeing each other and showing up for each other. Mm-hmm. I love that story.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, it was just a message, right? But just the fact that she was there meant so much to me.
Mm.
And so it was so exciting that we got to meet. And down, and all of the people that I've met through DSDN and through other groups too have been really, really incredible supports. You know, it's just, it's this great, I think somebody mentioned it once, but you know, when you get that diagnosis, whenever it is, whether it's, you know, when you're pregnant or after birth, there is kind of this moment where we're all like, oh no, what are we supposed to do? And we just remember all of the bad stuff, because that's kind of what's surrounding, right? You can't avoid it. And all of a sudden, everyone is saying sorry around you, but it's like you walk through this door and there's this other group of people that are like, woo, yeah.
And they're like, we're not sorry over here.
I know.
Exactly, right? It's like the party bus. And you're like, this is, it's not bad. Tell me more, right? Tell me more. And everyone's so excited to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love the energy of the Down syndrome community.
Mm. Such a great story. Something that I really appreciate about it, like on the topic of getting plugged in, is that it took you asking around, you know, and there is a sense of in our community to be known and to find your space. There is that initial step, and it is a Google search, and it is an asking, and it is finding, you know, like you said, there's all these options and you found the one that worked for you. But you had to take those steps, right? And, and then you do, and it opens up all of these doors. And so there's a sense of intentionality about that I appreciate about you, Joe. And I'm curious, thinking back to when Milo was born, and thinking like we have listeners who have brand new babies. We've got listeners who have that brand new diagnosis, like in utero, or grandparents, or whatever. So thinking back to like when Milo was born, what were some of like the needs you felt in turn? Like it could be like you needed logistically a doctor, but also you needed these other things. And like, what were some of your motivations to find community or to ask the questions and to show up?
Honestly, I think one of the most basic ones was we just wanted to find other people with Down syndrome, which I think is surprising to me that it is even more difficult than you would think, you know, that it's not just like, where is everybody? Why am I not already seeing them? Why didn't I immediately know off the top of my head? Oh, here are people that are in my community that I know. It was just, we know nothing about this. We know, I mean, my husband and I had grown up and, you know, we'd had sort of these fleeting moments growing up, meeting people with Down syndrome, but we knew our kids didn't know anybody, you know? And I think that was the hard part, was trying to figure out, well, where is this community? Because it's got to be somewhere. Mm. And I think, you know, I think we also, being people of color, are really aware of the importance of representation. And we want our kids to be around people who are like them, and just to be able to see that they are not different than everybody else. So that was really important, to find that space. And for me personally too, I like to sort of describe myself as a good student. Like I've always been a good student. I'm like, yes, yes, this is how I, you know, you tell me what to do and I will do it. Thank you very much. And so then having to step into an advocate role was really out of my comfort zone. And so I think that was also something that even I learned, even when he was born, when he was in the NICU, that I would need help with that because I don't feel comfortable speaking up and I don't know when to speak up a lot of the time. And so that was definitely one of those important, you know, as I spent some time in those groups, like on Facebook again, and watching those forums and people talking about things, how people would say, this is what my doctor's saying. Has anyone had this experience? And people sharing, and not for, you know, not obviously for medical advice necessarily, but just saying they can do this, but this is also what my doctor said, or this is the route we've taken. So you have options. So you might want to bring that up, or this is something you can talk about, or at least you can speak to the fact that you have other choices.
Well, let's talk about outside of the online groups that you found. Mm-hmm. I'd love to know about your community, where you are. You live near Heather, and your social life. Like, how has having Milo in your life formed and shaped that like real life community around you?
So when we finally brought him home and kind of, you know, got comfortable and sort of what our lives were going to be like, we immediately were like, okay, where's our local group? How can we find these people that are here with us? And when we were actually, when we first met them, they had this really small group of people. I think we didn't have a space. Like we would be jumping around from like month to month. They would just kind of give us this address. This is where we're meeting. Sometimes it's a church, sometimes it's a school. And that was, I still remember our very first meeting. And it was so exciting. It was so exciting to walk in and see, because they're age groups, right? So he was a baby and it was just like a room full of babies. It was so great. And I was in awe of, oh my gosh, here are all of these people. Like, these are our people. Tell me about your kid. Tell me about your pregnancy and delivery and all of that. What hospital are you going to? What doctors are you seeing? And I think there's also something really, really incredible about being able to talk with other parents who are going through the same thing, because you see it right away. When you start to talk about the things, and these are the things, of course, now that have become our everyday, but when we talk about, here are the specialists he's seeing, here are the issues that he has. When you talk to a parent who does not experience that, you kind of see the very first response is one of just incredible sympathy, right? Like they're like, oh my gosh, it sounds like a nightmare. I'm so sorry for you. I feel so sorry for you. You guys are so strong for doing what you're doing and all of this, right? But when you talk to somebody who's like, oh yes, 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 me too. Mm-hmm. This is what I have, or I don't have this, but this is what we're going through. All of a sudden you kind of like it's like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's not just me. There are these other people too. And look at them. They're doing fine. We're all doing fine. And now we can kind of help each other, right? We're just swapping stories now, and we can laugh about it and we can complain about it. But nobody's feeling sorry for you, which was so incredible. And now they've grown so much in the last few years. And now we have like an actual office and a place to go. And so, and we've now like graduated onto the next, to the next group. So now the babies are this own group beneath us. And it's so exciting. It's so exciting to watch our whole community grow.
I've never heard somebody articulate that connection with people who have kids with Down syndrome versus not, and then you finally find people who don't feel sorry for you.
Yeah,
I've never heard that articulated before. And it's, yeah, there's like this refreshing, I always say like this me too, but like, yeah, I don't want to be around people who feel sorry for me and my kid. Mm-hmm. We don't want that.
Yeah. And sometimes you want to share, you know, when you're like, oh my gosh, you guys, like I just spent like 3 hours on the phone trying to, get these appointments somewhere and such, right? You want to be able to vent that when you're
totally.
When you're frustrated about, but you don't want someone like, oh my gosh, you're a saint. I can't even imagine having to do that.
Right.
You know, you just want to, yep, that sucks. I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. When you knew Milo was going to have Down syndrome and then he comes home, pre-Milo, was there this idea of like how life will be socially, right? Like what you were already doing and enter Milo, that was going to change? Or was that not something you and your husband talked about or thought about?
I think because our kids were still really young when Milo was born. I think our oldest was in kindergarten or like TK or something. So I think we were just entering sort of social lives in general. I think I am not, I would not describe myself as a social butterfly.
Okay.
So I think that was really difficult, you know, and I was just getting into like making mom friends. Making mom friends is so hard. Oh my gosh, it's so crazy. So I was just starting into that world. And thinking about Milo, I didn't think about it so much because it was easier when he was a baby and he's just sort of a tag along. I feel like that is coming up more now because now he's at school. Mm-hmm. And school is great, and school has been, we have a relatively small school, so they've just really rallied around him and welcomed him with open arms. But at the same time, you know, you kind of wonder, but is he making the same connections as his siblings did when they were that age? Mm-hmm. Are we going to get those play dates? Is he making, you know, connections with specific kids in his class? That I don't know. Mm-hmm. Is he going to get invited to birthday parties? That's I think to be determined. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of like the cliff I'm on right now.
Yeah. Hmm.
Well, I'd love to know, as we are, you know, we're talking about community, what would you say to a new mom who's listening and is looking for a Down syndrome community? Or is waiting for her baby to be born or just had a baby and is like, what do I do now? What would you say to that new mom?
I would say, reach out, be prepared to step out of your comfort zone and do a little bit of work. Again, there are, you know, all of these great groups that have already been kind of established, like DSDN and like, you know, if you go to your Down Syndrome Association, but go seek out those meetings and go to at least one and see what happens. Because I think that again is really hard for me to kind of step outside of my comfort zone and to go to these places knowing that I'm going to know nobody, right? And kind of go like, well, what is this going to be like? You know, this might be terrible. But you have to go, you know, at least a couple of times, because I think that you'd be surprised at the connections that you can make. And even those big, look, you know, seeking out those big events, like all of the walks, mm-hmm. you know, that happened in October. I think that's something now, I mean, our kids look forward to that every year. They're so excited about that. You know, my kids love going to those walks and those big events, right? They look forward to that every year. And so I think it is really just important to, even if it doesn't feel like that's your wheelhouse, to show up, because it's just so incredibly helpful mm-hmm. and so important to have that support.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear that as a mom to a teenager. I feel like I want to say this to our listeners too, who have older kids. I didn't have the DSDN because it didn't exist when Mason was born, and they've been a great, they're such a good resource. We've had them on in different capacities on the podcast over the years. But I found my people through like this person in line in front of me, their kid has Down syndrome, like that baby does. And then you just, whoops, we bumped into each other. And so I had this group that I was friends with. And then by the time August came along, we're very plugged into the Down syndrome community. And as it goes in life, you find yourself in different stages. And so entering into adolescence, middle school, high school, And I think some of this is just true for kids in general, but our kids with Down syndrome have an added layer there and feeling, I think I feel more alone as a parent with a child with Down syndrome with a 13-year-old than I ever have in the last 13 years. Like the alienation I feel from our community and the lack of relationship and all these pieces. And again, it's layered and we've moved and we, like, there was a time there where we switched communities and there's all those pieces, but just that it's not just unique to a new mom. Like I'm listening to this thinking I need to reach out to this organization because I feel alone and Mason's alone. Like Mason needs some friends and we don't have friends with Down syndrome who we see and do life with. There's like the people we see once or twice a year. And that's just very, obviously it's very, very different. So it's just good. It's good to hear in this stage too, for me, like a good reminder that there things are out there, but it does take that initial knocking on the door. And as someone who is a social butterfly and only wants to do social things every single day, literally 7 days a week, 365 days a year, can I please go hang out with somebody that I even still feel like another thing to do, right? Like another step to take. But hearing this conversation is good for me in that it's worth it and it's important, you know, it's an important step. So,
yeah, I think I was just going to say, I think that with how much it can sometimes feel like you're getting community through the internet, which you are in some ways, right? Like there is something really good about being able to scroll Instagram and see families and be like, yes, I connect with you and, you know, send them a heart or whatever. But there is like, I think sometimes we forget how much we need physical relationships.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes I am the same, Heather, where I can be content with my internet relationships and not put myself out there to make real physical relationships, especially like after my move. And of course, COVID is like it's an easy excuse too, to not put yourself out there and build those relationships. So yeah, I think that it's so important to remember the internet can't be everything.
Mm-hmm. And I do feel when it comes to social media stuff, I personally feel seen. And if I need a support from somebody, I know I can go there and I have it. And I don't feel alone in that space, which I'm grateful for because I think that it's turned into a space of just loneliness for people, but that's not what it's been for me. And I'm thankful for that. But it is like when you go to the Super Bowl party and it's all of your friends, it's all the people you're doing life with. And you just sit there like with cringing inside thinking I'm going to leave because my kids are not a part of this because they don't get it. And everybody here loves me and loves my kids. And of course my kids are welcome here, but nobody here gets it. And I need someone who gets it. And you can't get it if you don't have a kid with Down syndrome, no matter how hard you try. There's those things in life that you don't know unless you know, and you can't learn it, right? Like you experience it and it becomes a part of who you are. It's not something that you read a book about and you've got. And that's what this Down syndrome community is, right? And it's this, like you're talking about earlier on, Joe, you go to the retreat and you're like, you are a total stranger and I love you with all that I am. Mm-hmm. And let's now share a hotel room and then let's share this straw and I might drink, right? This pre-COVID. But you know, like that's more like an analogy.
Pre-COVID. We don't share straws anymore. No,
any more straws. But it's like that piece is so important. I think I would imagine you can speak to this too, Joe, because you mentioned being a person of color. Like we hear that conversation around people of color, right? Like this idea of being seen and known by someone who gets it, who lives it, who understands it. And just that's so important to find that. It's so important for our souls to have that connection.
Absolutely. And knowing again, I mean, I grew up in a place that was predominantly white. So I kind of feel like I know what it's like to not have somebody around that is similar to you. And I knew that I didn't want my kids to feel that. And especially with their brother and understanding how different he might be from everybody else, that they don't feel like, oh, he has to be kind of on the outskirts of our lives because he clearly does not fit in this mold. Mm. Right. So, and now, you know, since there since they've been little, they've had friends that have had Down syndrome because we've been going to these mm-hmm. groups, you know, mm-hmm. and I love that. I mean, I don't know. Down syndrome is almost like, it's almost like this little club that we get to be part of. And similar to what you were saying, Heather, like when I go out and I see people and I see somebody that has Down syndrome or somebody with a kid with Down syndrome, oh my gosh, I'm like immediately like, hi, can we be friends? And so like, I introduce myself and I say, you know, and that's not like me at all. Like I would never, again, I don't go up to people and start talking to them, but that connection is so important. And it does kind of open these doors. And I feel like it's this really nice, almost understanding that everybody has too, that they're like, no, we're used to that. Yeah, we're going to be friends. We're going to say hi and we're going to have this conversation because clearly we have this connection. Mm-hmm. And I love that. So I went this last year to the Lucky Mamas retreat because somebody invited me, Heather.
I invited
her. Heather, asked me to go. And I was like, I'm not going to know anybody there. And like worst case scenario, I'll be able to sit in a corner and maybe get some work done and sleep without anybody sleeping on top of me. Mm-hmm. Which are my kids, right? They'll always sleep on top of me. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I was expecting. Like, it's okay if I don't make friends and they're all friends already, that's fine. At least I get to go somewhere and have some peace. Yeah, exactly. Right. Really get to rest. And I go, and it's not like that at all, of course. And everybody is immediately friends. And like the whole weekend we're partying. It's insane. It was exhausting in a really good way. We're great partiers. But that, again, that idea that like immediately, as soon as I walked in the door, everyone's like, hi, let's all mm-hmm. be friends. We all have this connection. We all can talk about these things. It doesn't matter where we're from or what we've experienced or what our, you know, other ideals and beliefs are. We all are friends because of this one really, really important connection. And then now, of course, like, we've had time in person. And so now we can, you know, stay in touch. And again, I've been friends with people that I've met on retreats now for years. Like we just continue mm-hmm. those bonds. I had when Milo was getting ready for his like first IEP and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. They clearly have made decisions for him that I don't agree with.
Right.
I reached out to my friend who's in Texas. Cause now I have friends in other states because we met at a retreat and she decided, to go into, you know, being a special education advocate. And so I called her up and she was like, this is what you do. 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. And she gave me all of this great support to help me get, you know, what I wanted and what I thought would be best for Milo. And I was able to do that because of her. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, it's incredible. Like, what would I have been able to do? I'm like, what about my other kids? Maybe I need more help for them because this is so great. But I just think that we, as parents and as parents of kids with Down syndrome, we have been given, it's almost like this extra bonus gift. Like I know people might tell you that this is scary, but guess what? You get this in addition to that. You've got this whole group of people that are ready and willing to kind of walk with you along the way. We just have to keep reaching out and finding them.
That's so good, Joe. That's so good. Thank you. I feel like that's, let's end there, you know, yes and amen. Really appreciative of what you've done to get to the place that you're at with community and then just being so intentional and sharing that. It's inspiring and very helpful. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So we're going to do a thing called good news and we're going to take a tiny break. And when we come back, if you have some good news you want to share about Milo, we would love to hear it.
Awesome.
All right. We'll be right back.
Hey, Micah here. Raise your hand if you're tired, overwhelmed, or if you simply need a little help finding your way into a slower pace. There's a new space where I'm exploring slowness, spiritual practice, and meaning. 15 minutes each week where all of us frantic ones can practice slowing down, learning to receive the goodness in front of us, and expanding our spiritual eyes to see what God just might already be up to inside all of us. Find the Soul Way podcast, hosted by me, every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, Heather Avis here. I'm excited to share with you about the Lucky Few Foundation, where we believe storytelling is the key to shifting the Down syndrome narrative. We believe sharing our stories fosters empathy and it creates a kinder, more inclusive world. One of the avenues in which we do this is through our foundation and our storytelling project called This is Down Syndrome. This is Down Syndrome is a unique storytelling machine that we use to shout the worth of people with Down syndrome. It is a project positioned to tell real, diverse, and inclusive stories, stories which will get real people having real conversations, changing hearts and minds, and shifting narratives. Stories which not only benefit the Down syndrome community, but strengthen our collective humanity. Because it's one thing to know about Down syndrome, and it's another thing entirely to know a person with Down syndrome. This is an invitation for you to help us create a world where everyone belongs. The Lucky Few Foundation believes storytelling is central to this mission, and we invite you to join us. Head to theluckyfewfoundation.org to learn more.
Okay, we are back, everybody, and it's time for our favorite part of every episode. It's time for good news.
You can just sing. Just do it, Micah. Micah's like holding back. So
I know it's so hard for me. It's so
do it.
Hard.
We want in 2022. We want more Micah.
We want really
on Micah on the mic.
Can I sing? Can I sing?
You should have that on a t-shirt. Yeah, that's a good
Micah
idea.
On the mic. It's time for good news. Time for good news. Everybody, welcome to the good news. I can't do her thing. Yeah.
There it is. Of course you can.
Truly, you're better than me.
That's it. I love it. All right, Joe, do you have some good news about your sweet Milo?
Okay, I do. He got an award at school, which I thought was so sweet. I mean, I think the point is that at some point every kid gets to be recognized. But he was so excited to be standing up there holding his little paper. And he saw us as soon as he walked into the auditorium. Cute. He saw us in the back and he was so, so excited. And we watched the video at home because his siblings weren't there when he gave it. And we watched the video and he's still working on, you know, complete sentences. So very kind of like mindfully, he said, "That's me." And then he said, "I'm so excited."
Oh, buddy, that's great. Yeah. Three word sentence. Yes. A big deal. That's so fun. I love that. I have some good news for August. Oh, excuse me. I was also a big yawn. August. So August is a second grader in first grade. It's complicated. But they get 12 spelling words a week. And we have it set up for him that his spelling test is identifying the words. So pointing them out. Initially, it was just like pointing. He had all the words there and he would point to them, and he has six instead of 12. So he does six of the 12. And then now it's like multiple choice. He can bubble them in, but this week's words are all compound words. So for those who need a refresher, it's like raincoat and inside mm-hmm. and flagpole, two words pushed together to make yes. one word. So, this week we got his words on Monday and I noticed that about them. And I said to him, "These are called compound words. This is so exciting." And all of his words come on a little flashcard. That's one of his modifications so that we can have that as a tool for learning his words. And so I held up the little flashcard and I like covered the word rain and said, "See, it's boots. But if you cover the word boots, it's rain." And I'm thinking it's all over his head. Like this feels very complicated. These are words that on their own, he's not reading these words yet. I have found with Mason that compound longer words are easier for her. As she's memorizing words, because it's not phonetics right now, it's mm-hmm. word recognition. And the longer, like a word like elephant is actually a way easier word for Mason and August to read than the word an, because it, mm-hmm. I don't know why. Someone here knows why listening. I don't, but that's what I've noticed. So I'm like thinking he'll get these words. Great. Anyway, a few later that night when we're working on homework, he pulls his, we get the flashcards out and he takes his little hand and he covers it up. And he said, see, this is one word. This is one word. And I'm like, buddy, wow. Only got the concept. That's like, he's amazing. Not, isn't that fun? It was just this moment. Like Josh and I are like, I feel like right now, August is, it's like this moment right now where he is absorbing a lot. I think this happens with our kids. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, okay, let's go. And then I think we're right there, like on the precipice mm-hmm. of him like opening up and being open to learning and excited about it. But that's it. It was cute that he showed me what a compound word it means.
Yes. That's huge. I just love funny. Any abstract thing like that. It's so cool when they get it.
Yeah.
I have one for Ace. A few weeks ago, you know, was Valentine's Day. And we made Valentine's, of course, last minute, like morning of, I was making him sign them before the bus. But he, you know, I didn't do a lot of explaining until we're just like about to go on the bus. Remember, you're going to hand these to your friends today. Mm. And I got a picture from his teacher of him handing out these to his friends. And, you know, with having a kid who's autistic, it feels different when you are experiencing their relationships and the way that they engage with kids. And being at a new school in COVID when we can't meet the other mm-hmm. parents really, and I don't really know these other kids or what Ace is like when he's with them. Just to see him handing a card to another kid and looking really excited about it, like he understands what he's doing, is really cool. And it's when he came so home good. That day, he was just giddy. He was just so excited whenever I asked him about it. And it just felt like he really was. I love getting to see him be excited about the things that other kids are excited about mm-hmm. and getting that, like, this is a day you get to eat chocolate and this is a day you get cards from your friends. And so that was really special for me.
That's so good. Like making those connections.
Yeah.
That's really sweet. Totally. Good news. I love that. Well, I love good news, you guys. So it's so fun to celebrate our kiddos. And if you are a listener, you have some good news. We love hearing from you too. And we would love if you would share your good news over on Instagram, the Lucky Few Pod. You can leave it in our DMs. You can leave it in a comment on any one of the pictures there. We'll have a picture of Joe's ridiculously gorgeous family, and you can leave your good news there too. And you can email us hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com with any of your good news as well. What else here as we wrap it up?
I want to thank Josh Avis, as always, for editing this episode, and Val Schleter for producing it with all of her beauty and wonder and That's goodness.
Right. and also, if you liked this episode, which I know you did, go ahead and share it with your family and friends. I think there's just a little button you push, and then you've done that. Share.
Just push that share. And you can do it. I know you can. You can also subscribe, which is also pushing a button.
Look at you guys, you button pushers. Also, you can check out the luckyfewpodcast.com for all of our show notes. Anything that needs to be linked from this episode, you will find it there. And you can see all the things we talked about today. And again, more pictures of gorgeous Joe and her family.
Yes. And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're the Lucky Few Pod.
That's right. And Joe, thank you again for being on the podcast. Listeners, don't forget, as always, you are slaying it. And maybe at this moment you're thinking, I surely am not, because I've felt that way a time or two in the last 5 hours. And the truth is you are slaying it. You're doing a great job. So keep on keeping on. We love you. We are cheering for you, and we can't wait to be with you on another episode next week. All right. Bye.
Bye, you guys.